Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. And this morning in the Warren County Radio Bible School, we're going to begin with our special feature in which I read from the Rock Cliff Review. And this is the bulletin we pass out to those who come to worship with us at the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. And the bulletin article usually has something to do with the sermon that I'm going to preach that day. And the title of this bulletin is The Significance of Bible Blue. Now, the reason I am writing about this and preaching about this is because when they had the Vacation Bible School at the Arlington Church of Christ, they were talking about Bible colors, and they gave me the color blue because that was the cover of the cloth that covered the Ark of the Covenant. Now, how do you teach a class on that? Well, I did some research, and I found out some interesting things about blue in the Bible. Now, you may be familiar with the Church of Christ at Arlington. That is where my son-in-law, Justin Reed, is the preacher. And I'm sure you're familiar with him as the radio person that comes on before this Bible school begins. And if you think he's a good radio host, you need to go hear him preach. That's at the Church of Christ at Arlington. Now, let me read to you this bulletin article on the significance of Bible blue. What's it come to mind when we see the color blue? We may think of the sky or the sea, a flower or a bird, or perhaps someone's eyes. Blue is a pleasing color. But more than pleasing, the Bible tells us that blue should cause us to remember God's commandments and keep them. I will come to the text shortly. The flag of the modern state of Israel is a white banner with a blue star of David and two blue bands. The two blue bands are there to remind citizens of Israel of the blue bands and the blue corner tassels in the traditional prayer shawls that Jewish men and women are to wear over their clothes when they come to their synagogues for worship. Those blue bands and tassels are to remind them of the riband of blue that the ancient children of Israel to weave into the fringes of their garments. And the blue ribands in those garments were to remind them to keep the commandments of the Lord. Here is the text. Numbers chapter 15, verses 36 through 41. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a riband of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them. And that you seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a-whoring, that ye may remember and do all my commandments, and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, to be your God. I am the Lord your God. The color blue is mentioned about 50 times in the King James Version of the Bible. 40 of those times are in the books of Exodus and Numbers. And in these books it is mentioned in connection with the tabernacle, its furnishings, and the garments of the priest. If blue was to remind Israel to remember the commandments of God and to keep them, then they had a lot of reminders. The Ark of Testimony was to be covered with a blue cloth when the tabernacle was moved from place to place in Israel's journeys through the wilderness. Numbers 4, verses 5 through 6 says, When the camp setteth forward, Aaron shall come and his sons, and they shall take down the covering veil and cover the Ark of the Testimony with it, and shall put thereon the covering of badger skins, and spread over it a cloth, holy, of blue. The priest would carry the blue-covered ark, holding the carrying rods on their shoulders before the children of Israel on their march, Numbers 10:33. The ark was not the only thing covered in blue. Numbers chapter 4 also tells us that blue cloth also covered the table of showbread with its dishes, spoons, and bowls, the candlestick with its lamps, tongs, and snuff dishes, and the golden altar of incense. The ark is variously called the Ark of the Testimony, Exodus 25:16. The Ark of the Covenant, Numbers 10:33. The Ark of the Lord, Joshua 3:13. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, Joshua 3:17. The Ark of the Covenant of God, Judges 20:27. The Ark of God, 1 Samuel 3:3. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Hosts, 1 Samuel 4:4. The Ark of the God of Israel, 1 Samuel 5:5. The Ark of the Lord God, 1 Kings 2:26. And the Ark of Thy Strength, Psalms 132:8. The ark contained a pot of manna and Aaron's rod that budded, but most importantly, it contained the tables of stone on which were written the Ten Commandments received by Moses when he was in the Mount of God. These are the commandments Israel would remember when they saw the blue covering. Keeping these commandments would keep Israel holy unto God. Numbers 15:40. The old law was for Israel, Exodus 20:2. But the new law of Christ is for all the world, Mark 16:15. The old law was written in stone, but the law of Christ is on the heart and on the mind, Hebrews 10:16. Some think that grace frees us from keeping the law of Christ. But Hebrews 2:1 tells us that we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard of Christ, lest at any time we should let them slip. There is no mention of blue in the New Testament, but borrowing from the old ordinance, we could still let blue remind us of God's covenant of grace and of our resolve to keep the law of Christ from the heart. Well, that was the gist of the sermon that would be preached after people had received that bulletin. I read from the Rockcliffe Review, because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliffe, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now, let us return to our class. And what we're studying in this Bible school class is old Sunday school lessons. And we're in the middle of a Sunday school lesson that was written for the Sunday schools of October 3rd, 1926, prepared by E.A. Elam. It's a lesson about Israel journeying toward the land of Canaan, and particularly the lesson about the spies that went into the land and came back. Two of them saying we could conquer the land, Joshua and Caleb, but the other 10 saying, oh no, it's too much for us, and gave an evil report. Well, God was angry with Israel for their lack of faith. And because the spies were gone for 40 days, God said the children of Israel would wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Let me, the lesson text for this is found in Numbers chapter 10. This is found in Numbers chapter 13. I was on the wrong page in my Sunday school book. Numbers chapter 13. 13 and 14, if you want to follow along there. But first, let's look at some geographical notes. Kadesh-Barnea was a place in the northern part of the wilderness of Paran, just below or in the southern border of Judea, Joshua 15:3. It was 11 days' journey from Sinai, Deuteronomy 1 and verse 2. From this place the spies were sent, and here the children of Israel remained until the spies returned. They abode here many days, according to Deuteronomy 1:46. To this place they returned after 38 years, Deuteronomy 2 and verse 14. Here, then, Miriam died and was buried. And here the people murmured, Numbers 20, verses 1 through 3. It is called Meribah, a name meaning strife, Numbers 20 and verse 13. It is also called En Mishpat, which means the fountain of judgment, Genesis 14 and verse 7. Hagar was found here by the angel in Genesis 16:14. Hebron was about 18 miles south of Jerusalem and was one of the oldest towns in the world, having been built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt, Numbers 13:22. The south was the country south of Palestine and was its southern border. Now, here are some helps and hints for the teacher. Between this last lesson and the one are the following facts. The people murmured at Teberah, and the fire of Jehovah burned among them and devoured them in the uttermost part of the camp. And Moses prayed unto Jehovah, and the fire abated. Numbers 11, 1 through 3. The mixed multitude which went up out of Egypt with the children of Israel lusted exceedingly. And the children of Israel cried for flesh, every man at the door of his tent. And the anger of Jehovah was kindled greatly, and Moses was displeased. Moses prayed to God for assistance because the burden of bearing so many people, as a nursing father carrieth a suckling child, was too heavy for him, and God gave him 70 men, elders of Israel, to assist him. God gave the murmurers quail in abundance, of which the people ate in greediness, and God smote them with a very great plague. The name of this place was Kibroth Hattaavah, the graves of those that lusted. That terrible story is found in Numbers chapter 11, verses 4 through 35. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses, and God called the three into the tent of meeting, came down in a pillar of cloud and reproved Aaron and Miriam. Miriam was smitten with leprosy and was compelled to remain without the camp for 7 days. The people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. Afterward the people journeyed from Hazeroth and encamped in the wilderness of Paran. Numbers chapter 12. To understand this lesson, we must study chapters 13 and 14, and that is the chapters that we read in previous classes, if you were a student on those particular days. Now, we want to get to the explanatory notes. And we'll talk about the spies being sent. We're going to also talk about the work of the spies, the good report, the evil report, Joshua and Caleb, and the effect of that evil report. It was at this time the children of Israel had been out of Egypt about 15 months and were near to the border of the Promised Land. These spies were sent from Kadesh-Barnea. And as we have seen, it was in the wilderness of Paran, which extended along the southern border of Canaan. These spies were sent at the request of the children of Israel, which, said Moses, pleased me well. Deuteronomy 1, 22 and 23. God approved this, and that's why Moses did it. We're going to continue this in our next class.